Pat, thank you for the invitation to share this time. Congregation, it's good to be back. And this is probably as good a Father's Day as anybody could have. All the family are together, the Stars and the Nelsons, and extended families beyond that. And to share in that baptism is a special gift. Scripture for today are just a few verses from the book of Colossians, and it's not so much the total content of the book as it is just a few words. I'll explain in a moment. But beginning with verse 1, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to God's holy people in Colossae, the faithful brothers and sisters in Christ, grace and peace to you from God our Father. We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray to you, because we've heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love you have for all God's people, the faith and love that spring from the hope stored up for you in heaven and about which you have already heard in the true message of the gospel that has come to you. In the same way, the gospel is bearing fruit and growing throughout the whole world, just as it has been doing among you since the day you heard it and truly understood God's grace. This is the word of God for the people of God. Ed, if you'd just put that first verse up there again, please. A religious scholar by the name of J.D. Wald has suggested that there are four words in these first two verses, particularly the second verse, that sort of catch the picture and the frame of everything that Paul is saying to the Colossians in this book. The four words are in that second verse, to God's holy people in Colossae, the faithful brothers and sisters in Christ. In Colossae, in Christ. The question is, which of those two phrases is going to be the picture and which is going to be the frame? Will this Roman city, Colossae, with its culture and value system, dominate the picture and invite Christians to surround it with a little bit of baptismal window dressing? Or will the in Christ ones, the Christians, supply the art, with the context of in Colossae serving as the frame? I found that to be a very thought-provoking idea. And so I want to share some more about that with you. Colossae was about 100 miles inland in the western part of what is modern-day Turkey. And it was a wealthy city, a Roman city, well known as a geographic and political center at its height. It happened to be right at a pass through which Xerxes and Cyrus had to come if they were going to do anything serious to the west from Persia. Rome used it as a garrison. It had a couple of main commercial strengths. One of them was wool, because the volcanic and earthquake activity caused it to be a very fruitful place, and they had herds of sheep everywhere. So there was wool that was known throughout the entire world. And because of the river there, the water had a particular way of making wool take a dye. And so they were known for their dyeing. Once a prosperous and vital city, it sort of fell apart. At the time of Paul, it probably wasn't a whole lot more than just a small town. Perhaps the smallest town to which Paul ever addressed a letter. Paul didn't found this church. It wasn't likely that he ever visited this church. It was probably part of the eastern expansion from Ephesus. It was mainly a Gentile church rather than a Jewish church. And as you look at some of those verses and read through the pages of the book, of the letter that Paul wrote, you read that there's a lot of good about it that Paul is lifting up, but there were some problems too. There were some heresies going on. Gee whiz, where aren't there problems and heresies going on? One that attacked the total adequacy and unique supremacy of Jesus Christ. That was the key. One that denied that he was Son of God and Son of Man. One that denied that he was fully human and fully divine. You know, just a man, a teacher, a rabbi. That was the key heresy. And for that, through the rest of the book, Paul lays out a very high Christology, talking about who Jesus is, lifting him up, but also stressing the humanity of Christ, the love, you know. Without knowing actually what I was going to speak about, Pat hit it on the head with the kids about the greatest thing we can do is to love God and of course, one another. The heresy was full of astrology. I hope you're not reading your daily charts. There was information in it about the powers of demonic spirits, the principalities and the authorities. You see, there was a whole lot of legalism going on. And at the same time, the moral values were eroding away. Boy, that's just so familiar today, isn't it? So Paul was asking if the Colossians were going to really live as if they're in Christ, or were they going to choose to live like in Colossae? What was going to form them? What was going to be most important to them? In every age, from the first century to the 21st century, and probably every century before, there were really just two choices. Who were you going to live in favor of? And for the Christian era, it's whether you're going to live in Christ or in Colossae. There's a prevailing religious system, and there's real Christianity. You know, just rites and rituals, and then there's actually love. The prevailing system sometimes just mimics what Christianity is, gives some hat tips to God and public invitations and some Judeo-Christian social customs. But it's only really offering a palatable civic religion. And the question isn't really whether we live in Colossae or not, because we have to live in Colossae. We have to live in Murraysville or Plum or Homer City or Warren or Tappahannock or Miami or wherever we happen to be from. The question is whether we will live in Christ or not. Will he be the picture or will he be the frame? And this is the awakening that we all have to have. We all have to have this awakening from our disgruntlement with the insanity that's going on around us. Think about everything that we've been through with the COVID, the political intrigue that goes on, the violence that's in the streets, the issues that are being raised. When we finally get so frustrated with that insanity and discontent with how it's twisting and turning us inside, when this awakening becomes greater and greater within us, that we need to be in Christ and find a way to live in Christ, that it will lead to the awakening that becomes much greater and greater around us as well. Listen to this statement. The things that stand in the way of my truly comprehending being in Christ and living by Christ's grace is that I'm pretty sure I already comprehend it. Listen to it again. The things that stand in the way of my truly comprehending being in Christ and living by God's grace is that I'm pretty sure I already comprehend it. I hope there are red flags flying. The gospel is a message consisting of very specific words, but it's more than a message. The gospel is truth, but it can't be confined to a group of propositional truths. We can't simply outline and fit it into a box for ourselves. Before the gospel is anything else, the gospel is God. Let me explain a bit more, because gospel means good news, and the good news is God. Not that God loves us, that's just something that he does. The good news is that God is love. That's who he is. The good news is not that Jesus saves, that's something that he does. The good news is that Jesus is salvation. That's who he is. And you see, it's a whole lot more than just the things that we do, but it's that message that Pat just gave to the kids, that the most important thing that we can do is to love, because God is love, and receive what Jesus is himself. Receive him. Be in Christ. We think sometimes that we truly comprehend God in the gospel because we have some idea of the things that he has done for us, right? We think we know what he has done for us. That's good as far as it goes, but it doesn't go nearly far enough. When our understanding of the gospel is limited to only what God has done for us, our understanding of sharing the gospel is going to be telling other people what he's done for them. Not who he is, not who Christ is, not who living in him is. To be sure, that's part of what the gospel means. But the gospel is absolutely who Jesus Christ is to us, and in us, and through us. It's not a body of knowledge about who God is and what he's done. It's knowing God. In John 17, verse 3, Jesus prayed, "Now this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and him who you have sent." There's no word about in that verse. It's not know about you. It's know you and the one you have sent. We're living in a period of world history where the measure of mastery has sort of become what we know about a subject, and getting the experiences and the degrees to prove it. You know, to have a master's degree or to be a doctor, PhD. The Christian faith isn't meant for this method. Real Christianity can't be reduced to knowing about God. We have to know God. And to think that we can master the subject of God is the ultimate idolatry. That's why I read that statement twice. Real Christianity is about understanding ourselves as subject to God and becoming mastered by Jesus Christ, being in Christ. So the gospel of Jesus Christ is not God's solution to our sin problem. The gospel is that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ Jesus, not counting our sins against us. It's about the relationship through which God lives in us and we in him. It's not just knowledge, but it's knowing. It's not just a body of information, but it's the person of Jesus Christ. Knowledge is good. I'm not going to knock knowledge, but it's only a penultimate good. The ultimate good is knowledge about God giving way to knowing God and being in Christ. And when that happens, that last verse that was in today's scripture, the good news is bearing fruit and growing in the whole world so that it has been bearing fruit among you from the day you heard it and comprehended the grace of God. To become real in Christ, to become a real in Christ Christian, then, is our aim. That's what you have promised for yourself when you were confirmed or joined a church. That's what you promised to provide for Isaac when we baptized him here on your behalf today. Not to teach him about God and Christ, but to be God and Christ with him. To show him who that is in his life. It requires us to humble ourselves and confess that we're just not quite there yet. Not that we're not on the way, but that the way might just be a whole lot more than we ever comprehended. And Wald asks that question, which will be the picture and which will be the frame? Will your life be the love of God and everything about God and Jesus Christ and living in him, knowing him? Or will it just sort of be dressing the outside and showing up in the fringe? Being in Christ takes a lot of work. But that's what the gospel is, no less. And we can't pretend it's otherwise. We are in Christ or not. And the choice that he obviously died so that we could make is to be in him. Which will be the picture and which will be the frame? Pray with me. Father, we thank you for your Son, Jesus, who's both the way and the way maker, the life and the life giver. He is the truth, not a construct of knowledge, but a person, the Word made flesh. We want to know Jesus more than we want to know about him. We want to know him personally and intimately and powerfully. And to this end, we pray in Jesus' name.